Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your admirable, exemplary, exquisite, distinguished, accomplished, superlative, transcendent, distinctive, incomparable, magnificent, paradigmatic, pulchritudinous,
Landis.
Huh?
What are you talking about? What are you doing?
I'm introducing the radio show.
No, with that accent and those words.
I just what thought it would sound good if we spruced it up
if
a little.
If we what? It's 8:30. Ain't nobody got time for that. We got to get this show on the road.
It's the Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your hosts, Philandis Harris
and Tamika Sanders. Relentless Pursuit is a faith-based, young adult radio talk show created to bridge the gap between racial, spiritual, and social divides. We discuss controversial issues that directly hinder the millennial generation from pursuing their God-given purpose.
We want to showcase young adults who are relentlessly pursuing God and their passions in the form of ministry, entrepreneurship, and through their gifts and talents.
Our goal is to equip our listeners with biblical principles that will nurture their dreams and catapult them into their divine destiny.
It's a relentless pursuit.
Happy New Year, everybody. Hey, what's up? What's up? What y'all doing? It's me, Philandis, and Tamika on here, too.
Tamika on the scene.
Happy New Year, y'all. It's 2017. It's been an interesting year. I've been seeing all the posts on Facebook about 2016, been a fat, ugly black girl with a short ponytail, and I'm ready for the new year. Or 2016 has humbled everybody. It's just been interesting. I've been hearing that from everybody. So we are looking forward to a great, powerful, phenomenal, transformational, transcendent, pulchritudinous year for this year. So, yeah, we're just excited to be back. We're excited to be before you guys again, to share with you, to grow with you, to pray with you, to find Jesus over and over again with you. And we just want to also give out another shout-out faithfully to Coach D, our network owner. If it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be here. So on the count of three, we're just going to give her a shout-out, tell her we love her, and Happy New Year. So one, two, three. Happy New Year, Coach D. We love you.
Love you, lady.
See? So, yeah, we're glad that you guys are back. We're glad that you're staying faithful, even though we've cut it down to once a month. Yeah, we're glad to have you. So moving forward, let's open up in prayer. So if you could bow your head, close your eyes, clear your heart and your mind, and let's go before the Lord. So, Jesus, we thank you for a new year. We thank you for another opportunity to do the right thing. We thank you for another opportunity to get to know you more, to experience a deeper part of your love, and to experience your peace and everything that's yours that belongs to us because we're your children. We thank you for the mercy that you give us, the way that you provide for us, the healing that you have given to us and are continuing to. I just pray over every heart and mind tonight that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would be receptive of what you have to say, receptive of your love, receptive of your spirit, that we don't have to dump out what we need, but you know exactly what it is that we need. You know exactly where each and every one of us are. And so I just thank you tonight that needs are going to be met, breakthroughs are going to happen, discouragement is going to disappear because somebody's going to be encouraged. Healing is going to happen. Revelation and understanding is going to happen. So we just love you, Lord. We thank you. And we just ask that you just have your way on this call tonight. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. So I wanted to start off the year a little bit more interactive. So I called it Listener's Choice for a reason. My initial thought was that I was going to start a dialogue within the Facebook event to kind of just ask everybody some of the things or some of the goals that you were looking to attain or achieve this year. And the idea was that whoever said most of the same thing, like if everybody said, yeah, I want to get bigger feet this year, then we were going to talk about getting bigger feet, how you can accomplish that. The plan of action that you could take to get bigger feet and how we were going to incorporate Jesus into that. That was going to be the thought behind naming the show Listener's Choice. However, it still went well. The point is that we know every year everybody got New Year's resolutions, whether it's to lose weight, to get a new car, to get out of debt, to make more money, to get good grades. It doesn't matter what it is, everybody starts off the new year with some type of expressed desire for them to see happen. And so I thought, like, okay, well, since that's a thing, that's a tradition, why don't we be serious about it? Because we also know that with these New Year's or these proposed New Year's resolutions, probably about by the end of the month, those resolutions have found themselves at the bottom of a drain somewhere, totally out the window, no more commitment, you don't hear nothing else about it. Not for everybody, but for the most part. So I just wanted to start off the year. Let's start off together. What do we want to see happen in our lives? What do we want to see improve? What do we want to excel in? And what are we going to do to make that happen? What plan of action are we going to take? And, of course, the Bible has a lot to say about planning and being, what's the word? Because it's one of my resolutions, consistent, being faithful, sticking it out even when it gets hard. The Bible has a lot to say about that. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I did find a video earlier today because I happen to like basketball and I like Steph Curry. If you don't know who Steph Curry is, even if you don't watch football, even if you don't watch basketball, shame on you.
Shame on you. That's all I got to say. You need to figure out who he is once this show is over. But anyway, he's a basketball player. I don't know what team he played for, so shame on me. But I know
Golden
that.
State.
Oh,
he is the point guard.
Minka would know. See our basketball star between the two of us. And you say he played for what?
Golden State.
Golden
California.
State. Oh, okay, I was about to say, what state is that in? California.
She's not a real fan, y'all, so shame on her. She's trying to get on y'all for not knowing who he is.
Listen.
Curry is really known for his faith as a Christian in the NBA. The only reason I know who he is because, you know, they were astronomically defeated against my team, Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. So we defeated them this year in the national championship, and Cleveland won their first national championship in a long time, NBA. So, yes. But anyway,
y'all know she don't know that because she's from Cleveland. So I hope it's some people that don't like the Cleveland team so that we can have a little heat, a little spice up in here. Somebody can press one real quick and be like, forget Cleveland. We're all about the Miami Heat or the Detroit Pistons.
But those people don't know, no, Stephen Curry is a Christian, and he's not, you know, shy about his faith in the NBA. So, you know, if you don't know about him, he's worth getting to know and following. But anyway, go ahead, Flanda. Sorry for that. I had to bring clarity to that situation right there.
She had to expose my ignorance real quick. So anyway, Steph Curry. He's a phenomenal player. I have seen him play for a few minutes during some games. I don't watch whole games, but I've seen him play. He's great. But I posted a video. It wasn't necessarily directly about him, but it was. The video, if you didn't get a chance to watch it within the Facebook group, it was about what I got from it. It basically talked about how he's not just as successful as he is because he's a Christian. He's not just successful like that just because he can play good, but the video talked about the level or the standard of excellence that he holds himself to. Talked about how he went to the Kobe Bryant camp, basketball camp or whatever, and they did two workouts for 3 days straight. And 30 minutes before the practice would start, all the other players would still be in their flip-flops and sweats and playing around listening to their headphones. And Curry would be on the court 30 minutes before the practice start working on his game, working on his shooting, working on his footwork, working on everything. And he would be in a full sweat, and he wouldn't leave the court after the practice was over until he did five all-netter shots. So basically, if he got up to four where it was all net and then that last one, he hit some rim, he would start over until he got five in a row. And so a lot of people could look at that as, oh, he an overachiever or he's a perfectionist. And that may be true. But the point is he put in the work to get the level of success that he has. And one of the quotes that I really liked was, he said, the guy that was narrating the video, he said, what habits do you have today that are basically in alignment with the dreams that you have for tomorrow? And I want to ask even further, do you have a dream for tomorrow? So if you have a dream, what are you doing today? What are you being consistent with? What's your routine for today that's going to make that dream happen that you have? And so if you haven't watched that video, I really encourage you to go watch it. It actually got me kind of hype. It made me feel motivated about life, and I haven't been feeling that way lately. So so I just want to start off with just talking about your desire for whatever it is that you set as a resolution this year. If you set a resolution to lose weight or to pray more, what is that desire for you, yourself, because you really want to do it, or is it because you know it's the right thing to do or people are expecting you to do it? And the reason why I'm asking that is because another thing that I can say about 2016 is that it's really taught me about myself in ways that I didn't know. Not to say that it's a totally bad thing that you do things because you know other people are expecting you to. It depends on what it is. Sometimes that's a good thing because it helps you to create good habits. It builds foundations in you that are important, you know. But at the end of the day, if you're only doing it for another person or something outside of yourself, chances are it's not going to last. So if you want to lose weight, is it because you tired of looking in the mirror and seeing that gut hang over your pants and you can't fit none of your shirts because they make you look like you a cocky person wearing a baby tee? Or is it because you trying to get Sally over there to see how good you can actually start looking, and you want to be good enough to be her boyfriend, or you want to be good enough to be Jared's girlfriend, so you want to get a bigger booty? Like, who is it for? Is it for you, or is it for someone else? And what I've learned over the past year is that when you do something because you want to do it, your drive and your motivation and your passion behind getting that thing is greater, and it lasts longer because it's something that you actually desire. There's no room for you to feel some type of way because you're not obligated to do it. If it's for you, it's because you want to do it. And Tamika and I were having a discussion before. She reminded me about my prayer that I prayed back in 2009. When I first asked God to help me get out of my old lifestyle and to stay out, that was my prayer. God, help me get out and stay out. And she broke it down for me one night. We were having a sleepover, and she said, God, to get you out is eternal. So that means anytime you get into something, he's already promised to keep getting you out each time. However, staying out is my choice. It don't matter what it is that I get into. Staying out of it is my choice. So God is always going to provide a way of escape. He's always going to be forgiving. He's always going to have mercy. He's always going to love me. He's always going to deliver me and set me free and heal me. However, it's my choice to stay out of the thing that he rescued me from. And so I thought that was a really powerful concept. You know, when you desire change of any kind, you desire any type of improvement or transformation, if it's not something that you in your heart of hearts really want, it ain't gonna last, bruh. So you gotta do it for you. That's my whole point. That's that whole point that I want to drive home in the beginning of this discussion. Whatever your change is, whatever your desire is that you're wanting, make sure that it's something that you really want. That way, if you fail at getting it, you could be like, yeah, I mean, I failed, but I still want to do it, so I'm going to get back up and try again. Whereas if you try it because mama or daddy or cousin or uncle wants you to do it, be like, well, it ain't work, so I ain't doing it. You're going to give up on it easier, you know? Did you have anything to say about that, Bishop?
That was good. I forgot I told you that. I'm listening to stuff you be saying, I say, and I'm like, God made that up. He told me, he gave me that because that was good. That applies to everybody, you know.
Everybody.
I thought you was going to talk about the part, the coming out part, when I said what's in between you getting out and stay out is coming out. But that's good. You know, staying out is your choice. God provides the way of escape out of any struggle. That's not just with homosexuality. That's with any struggle. And staying out is our choice. You know, also that is indicative of promises too. You know, the promises that God has given us, the dreams that God has given us, we pray and ask God, you know, show me what you want me to do. And he show you what he wants you to do, but it's on you to actually do it and on you to carry it out and you to write the vision and make it plain. He said he going to give you the vision, but he ain't say he was going to write it for you. He tell you to write it down, make it plain, pray for a strategy, get a strategy, and execute the plan. You know, without a plan, without a vision, things fail. Nothing can be successful without plan. And that's a hard lesson that I had to learn. a very, for those of you who know me personally, I'm a very kind of like spontaneous person. You know, I hate routine. I don't like schedules. I like to just get up and do what I feel like doing that day. You know, I have a certain amount of discipline to do certain things, but for the most part, I don't like routine. I don't like a schedule. I don't like being confined to and restricted to doing a certain thing at a certain time or all that. I really struggle with that. But God had to show me this year that at the same time, you also pray for ministry, and you can't run your ministry like that. And so it's like you can run your personal life like that if you want to run crazy like that and be spontaneous here today, gone tomorrow. But when you're carrying a ministry and you have people that are following you and you have leaders that are listening to you and looking up to you and people on your team, you can't maneuver through life like that. And it's been very challenging for me because I'm like, okay, now I got to be like everybody else. And it's like, it's not a bad thing. It's just an adjustment. My mom, I tell you, all my whole life I've been like, just wake up one day, oh, I want to go here. It could be somewhere out the whole country. My dad say, like, Tamika call me one day and be like, Dad, I want to, they going to Africa tomorrow. I want to go. It costs $3,000. And be expecting him to pay for it and just be up and gone the next day. And I like moving like that. But God is like, you cannot do that with the ministry and the vision that I've given you. You can't run your business like that. And so I think that this year I have been trying to make a point this whole week to get a good planner, a good calendar, and write everything down and plan everything out and come up with the strategy for each thing that I want to accomplish. And when I do want to be spontaneous and go, I still have to plan that. So it's like, okay, I can't just up and leave and abandon the responsibilities that God has given me to the people that are following me. And that's different. You know, I didn't have, for somebody, it's the same thing with kids, people who are single with no kids and no husband, they can kind of maneuver quicker and easier than somebody that has to plan their vacation because they got to figure out, okay, where the kids gonna go, where the husband gonna go, he got time off work, I got, you know, all of those things play a factor in your decision, where for a long time it's just been me. Nobody else has been affected by my decision but me. But when God has given me a vision, it affects a whole group of generation of people, so I can't maneuver through life like that. So coming up with the plan and of execution is very important. But enough of what us talking. I want to hear what the listeners have to say. We want to hear your New Year's resolution and what God has been speaking to you about things that you can do better in 2017 and how to execute that. So if you all want to share, we want to hear, get the dialogue going, go ahead and press 1. In the meantime, we'll keep sharing what God has placed on our heart. But please press 1 if you're on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Coach D, if anybody presses 1 and we talk and just cut us off and be like, we have a caller. Just cut us off. but yeah, so like that's the most important thing that we want to start off with. It's just whatever. First of all, identify what changes you need or want to make and also analyze why. Who are you doing it for? What are you doing it for? And is that reason or is that reason why you want it going to be, enough for you to be faithful to what it takes to get that change manifested, I should say. And so, boom, we figure out, we know we need to figure out who we're doing it for. The next thing is we need to know the difference in this case between hope and faith. Now, before I start, there is nothing wrong with hoping. Hope is very important. If you don't have hope, then you're hopeless. Obviously.
Literally.
If you don't have hope, you're hopeless. So that is very important. However, the Bible that we believe, it also talks about faith. Faith being the substance of the things that we hope for and the evidence of the things that we don't yet see. And My Bible, in James chapter 2, verse 17, it says that faith without works is dead. So let me give you an example. Let's say, we'll use one of my resolutions as an example. My resolution is, one of them is to be more consistent. I am very big on starting stuff and not finishing it. I'll start it with so much passion and fire, and yeah, I'm going to do this, and I want to see this happen, and da-da-da-da. And then, like, when it starts getting hard or I get bored with it, I lose all of that and I just stop. And I do that with a lot of stuff. Praise God that I sort of kind of maybe almost got delivered this past year. This radio show, I promise, probably every week for the first 6 months of the show, I wanted to quit because it got hard.
No, I was going to say, I just thought about something, but I didn't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, like every week for the first 6 months when we were doing this show weekly, I wanted to quit. I wanted to tell Coach D, like, listen, I am so thankful that you were obedient and you listened to God and gave me the opportunity. But I had never done this before. I wasn't sure that I had what it took. I was just overwhelmed, and I just wanted to quit because it got hard. It got tough, and I saw what it took to, or some of what it took to be successful at being a radio show host. I wanted to quit, and God wouldn't let me. Tamika wouldn't let me. My commitment or my loyalty to being obedient to what God is telling me to do wouldn't let me. So for the past year, it'll be a year on January the 4th since our first show. I can say that I've been consistent through all of the hardships that I've been facing. And it's been hardships. It hasn't been anything petty that I've been going through this past year. It's been some tough stuff. I'm growing up. I'm getting to know God for myself and not just the testimonies that I've heard my mentors and leaders in the past talk about. So, for instance, I can either say, I hope I'm more consistent this year, or I can say, I will be more consistent. So me hoping is not as effective as me saying in faith, I will be more consistent. We're going to talk about that plan of action in just a few moments, but it's all about your mindset. If you want to lose weight, are you going to say, well, I hope I lose 10 pounds this year? Or are you going to say, I'm going to lose 10 pounds this year? Are you confident that what you desire is actually possible? Are you confident that you have what it takes to make those desires a reality? Yeah, we are encouraged, you know, in the Bible to have hope because that is important. But if you're going to see these resolutions become a reality, you need faith. And faith takes action. Without action, they're technically just wishes. They're wishful thinking. So if you don't know where that scripture that talks about faith without works being dead is, it's in James chapter 2, verse 17. And so my next question is, have you not done what it takes due to a lack of belief in yourself? And I remember this one time Bishop Jakes was preaching, and he pointed out how Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He pointed out the fact that Paul said, I can do all things. Like, we know that it's Christ that strengthened him, but he believed in himself first. So he said, I can do all things. Paul can do all things. So you need to believe that you can do the thing that you're desiring to do. Yeah, Jesus is giving you the strength, but like Tamika said earlier, you can have the vision. He'll bring it to pass, but you got to write it. So you also have to do what it takes. If he gives you a strategy to meet that goal that you have, you got to do what it takes. You're trying to lose 10 pounds, and Jesus said, well, for the next 10 months, you got to eat vegetables and drink orange juice and water, and that's it. That's the only way you're going to lose the 10 pounds. Then you got to do that. You can't just be like, well, Jesus said I'm going to do it. I'm going to lose the 10 pounds over in the next 10 months.
And you still eating fall off.
And we're not downplaying it. You know, I've heard testimonies of a really obese person being in a miracle service at a church, and a man, the preacher there, he had a rag and he waved it across the person's body, and they lost 40 pounds and their pants fell down because they couldn't fit them no more. That's possible. God can do whatever you want to do. He all powerful. However, that's not an everyday occurrence.
One in a million.
That ain't an everyday occurrence. And chances are that could have been a situation where that person couldn't lose the weight because they had a medical condition. So God supernaturally healed them. Most of us don't have medical situations. We just lazy. I am. I'm going to speak for myself. Y'all are not lazy. Y'all are so fit, and y'all don't even need to hear about this right now. But I'm lazy. I don't like eating right. I don't like working out. I don't like doing none of that stuff. I just want to do me and be me and look good with no consequences. But it don't work like that. Do you believe in yourself enough to even put some action behind your face? So them 10 pounds that you're looking at, that you're tired of seeing in that mirror, do you believe that you have what it takes to run that mile, to do them 10 push-ups? Y'all, I did 10 push-ups today and yesterday, and I about died. I had straightened my hair out. For those people that's on the line, that's natural, you women, God bless us. I did those 10 push-ups. I went down looking cute with straight edges, and I came up with an afro around the line of my head. there was no more straight in my hair. So do you believe you got what it takes to do them 10 push-ups, them 50 sit-ups, that run that mile, and put down that ice cream and them chips? And I'm talking to myself because I got a box of Cheez-Its sitting in front of me right now that I really want. And I said that I was going to stop eating junk food. So, yeah, do you believe in yourself? I also wanted to just refer back to a show that we did back in April. It was actually a Girl Talk segment called The Power of Permission. And during that show, I was talking about affirmations, what they are, what they're for, about how affirmations are a confession of the truth. You can either affirm a lie or something that's positive. So you can affirm that you are the finest girl on the in the universe, or you can affirm that you're the ugliest girl in school or at your job, which it depends on which one you want to believe. So if you got low self-esteem and you want to start thinking better and feeling better about yourself, what are you affirming? So if you don't believe that you can do all things, then you need to start telling yourself that you can. The affirmations, those are very important in this portion. I know I'm talking a lot, Tamika. I ain't want to keep you from sharing something if you had something.
No, you're doing good. I still want to hear someone press one, though, but that's not on you. I'm just No, I'm enjoying. I'm listening.
We do have a call. Area code 480, last 476-79.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This is Denise, and Hi. I'm doing well. I was just listening to you, Philandis, and I got this message on yesterday, and I didn't know that I was going to use it so soon, but I just moved 2 days ago, 200 miles from where I lived, 2 days ago. And so anyway, I had to return the U-Haul truck that I rented. And my cousin was going to come to the U-Haul place to pick me up because my car was at her house. And so my car was blocking her car in her garage, so she couldn't come pick me up. So I just said, okay, that's all right, forget it, I'll just walk. Well, it was 6 miles, and my phone tracks the steps that I take. So my steps were 16,482 steps that I took on yesterday walking back to my cousin's house. But the message in that was I didn't get upset. I didn't trip out. I didn't. I actually stopped at a 7-Eleven and bought me some shades, you know, to kind of cover my eyes. But the Lord spoke to me twice during that walk, and he said, just put one foot in front of the other, and you'll reach your destination. And I thought that was so profound, and even in what you're talking about tonight, if we just put one foot in front of the other, we will reach our destination, whatever it is. And so I reached my cousin's house, and, of course, I collapsed on the floor a little bit. But but I woke up the next day refreshed, and I didn't feel pain, and I still knew that I had to go to my house and do some unpacking. And so the Lord just really blessed me. And in all of that, I was able to walk through that, my new town that I live in. And also during my walk, you know, it wasn't hot. I felt nice, cool breezes. And during my walk, I just kept saying, thank you, Father, because it could have been a scorching day when I had to do that walk, but the Lord knew already in advance. So I'm just saying, and when you hear the voice of the Lord, you know, just for him to tell me, Denise, if you just put one foot in front of the other, you will reach your destination. So I'm saying that to you all tonight. Just put one foot in front of the other, and you will reach your goals or your destination or whatever it is. That's all I have to say.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's really good. It's like, it's so simple, but it's so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, it's like so simple, but it's so powerful, you know. And I think the problem where we get discouraged with putting one foot in front of the other is because we're impatient. There was nothing stopping you from getting from that destination, but if you would have grew impatient, that was the only thing that would have stopped you. I mean, of course, if you would have gotten hurt or tired, but if you would have gotten impatient and just said, man, forget this. I'm not walking that far. I'll just Uber or I'll just call her or I'll just
not go.
You know, that would have been our impatience. And it convicted me because it's like the things that God has promised me, I look at the end result and I'm like, man, I'll never get there. That's impossible. But if I've taken one step in front of the other, I'll eventually get there. It may take a while. It may take some tears. But I'm going to get there if I don't grow too impatient and stop. So that really spoke to me. That was good. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
And what really stuck out to me about that is the fact that God was able to speak to you in the process of getting there.
That's
like,
right.
If you would have taken an Uber, chances are you would have gotten the car, you and the driver would have started the conversation, and you would have been distracted by the conversation to even hear from God, and he wouldn't have even needed to speak to you because you took the shortcut way. And so I read something that one of my Facebook friends posted, and one of the things that she said that stuck out to me was that the journey is more important than the destination. And she didn't elaborate on it, but I was thinking, like, dang, that's true. Because in the journey, that's where God speaks. That's where you grow. That's where you observe. That's where God proves himself to you, and he's able to speak to you because you're in the process of getting there instead of taking the shortcut out and being distracted, you know? So, that is powerful. I like that.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, so thank you so much for sharing that. And also, if anybody else has any other input or something you want to share or a question you want to ask, feel free at any time. Press 1, and we're ready for you.
Okay, we have another caller. Area code 510-1275. Area code 510-1275.
God bless you. Hi, it's Chandranette from California. How is everyone?
Hey.
Happy New Year.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Hey. Oh, wow. I am very, very, very excited right now. I made sure that I got out the word to all the ladies. I was trying to get as many ladies that could get on this call as possible because I knew that it would be very impactful. So I just want to thank God again for both you, Philandis, as well as Tamika. And I know there's just so much I can say, but I'm going to be limited in my saying right now because it's very important that I get out what I really need to focus on. And so as I was listening to you, Philandis, and even the one-year anniversary coming up on the call, and we thank God and celebrate with you all, and I think about the consistency in what you were talking about, and that is really one of my primary goals in 2017. It seems like it's been a continual goal for years because I, too, am of the mindset where, you know, I can get in there, I can get this thing going, I can start it. I, too, started a call, and it's been about 7 years. Last October made 7 years. And I tell you, it was first year. That first year, the same thing that you said, you know, I can't do this. You know, this is taking up too much time. It's not my comfort zone. This is not what I'm used to. But the one thing we have to understand, and this is for myself, because 2016 was a year of growth, and I'm continually growing forward, and I know that God has purpose. But we have to undergo a renewal mindset in a lot of ways, because we can have the mind to believe that, you know, I can do this, I can achieve this, I can start this, you know, I can go with this. And it's just like you said, you know, you're in the midst of this thing, and then the journey, as we were hearing earlier, in the process, that does not feel good. You know, 2016 being down in my back and dealing with all the issues and stuff, that was not a good experience. But it was a good experience because it enabled me to, you know, again, be humbled in certain areas, to learn, to listen, to really hear. I had a near-death experience in September where I should have been out of here. It was a firsthand experience. God said, okay, you said you wanted to go twice. You said to take me out of here. And God allowed me to experience that on September the 22nd in the hospital. And so I want to say that, you know, we have to have a mind renewal completely, because when I think about my mind renewal and what took place really in the last 90 days of 2016, it was a gradual process, but more so in the last 90 days, where I began to see and begin to say to myself that I have to take off some things that are not good for me. When we lean to our own way of thinking and understanding, God is very specific in what he wants us to do. He lays it out and he says in his word vividly, you can't lean to your own way of thinking, because when you do that, even though you have good intentions, if you do that, you are going to set yourself up to fail. And so I want to thank God, because there was so much that I had to go through, and we're never at a point, you know, where we've arrived. You know, God deliver me from people that think that they have it when they don't have it. I am one of those. I will be transparent in a minute, and I will tell you, look, I will never know. I will never get the full totality of who God is. While we're in this flesh, we will not. So we're constantly learning. God is constantly revealing to us. He gives us new insight, new revelations. He even reveals some of his mystery to us. But when we think about the mindset, the renewal mind, and I think that's Romans chapter 12 and 2 that talks about, you know, we have to be able to have mind renewal. We are not in this world to conform to it. You know, we have to understand that it's our mindset. And when you think about what is mind renewal, you think about there's just some things I need to take off, some things I need to put off. You know, sometimes we're allowing doubt to get in the way. That's wrong. That's not of God. Fear is not of God. Hurt is not of God. Rebellion is not of God. Self-centeredness, lust, bitterness, everything, anything that sin is not of God.
And so when we think about this corrupt thinking that sometimes we allow to get in our way, and this barrier, there's a barrier that's there. That is what quenches God's spirit. And when you have those type of things that are on you, the Spirit of God will not be able to move freely in you. And so God began to deal with me, and he began to show me that there's things that you have to specifically put on. And we know that the Bible is very specific when it tells us to have the mind of Christ. When we're talking about the mind renewal, it's not simply changing our thoughts, but we actually have to put off the old negative things, thoughts, and begin to replace those with God things and his thoughts and his mind. And we've got to put on what is totally of God. And so I thank God for, number one, allowing me to keep me humbled in 2016. I didn't like the way he did it, but I'm so grateful that he did do it, because it allowed me to see, and it allowed me to experience firsthand what God says that he will do. He will do it. I heard Tamika saying that earlier. No, it was actually Philandis. God can do whatever he wants at any given time. He can do it. He can do it however he chooses to do it. But I thank him for the understanding of knowing that, you know what, I want to do better. And that's all God is looking. He's looking for us to just be willing to do better. But you can't do better if you can't acknowledge that you need to do better. Sometimes we have to openly confess with our mouth. Sometimes we got to openly repent to God. God, I'm sorry for my shortcomings and all that I messed up and didn't do. You think about what you didn't do, all you have to do is ask God to forgive you. And he's just that kind of God that say, hey, I'm just, I will forgive you. But we have to be the one to openly confess. We have to be the one to openly acknowledge what we need to do. And you're absolutely right that that faith has to go along with the hope. We can talk all day long, but if we don't put it into action, it's not going to happen. As Denise put so, it's just like you said, it's simple. Put one foot in front of the other and you will make it to your destination. So simple, but it's so hard at times, and it's because our mindset. But I thank God for the undergoing of a renewal mindset and saying that, hey, I don't have all these things figured out, but I know that, again, like you said, Philippians 4:13, I can and I will do all things, because it's through Christ that gives me the strength. It's not Chandranette. I cannot do anything without the help of God. But in that same breath, I should not allow fear or doubt to grip my heart and say, wow, this is just too big. This can't be done. I'm limiting God. I said I'm keeping God out the box in 2017 completely, because whenever we say that we're going to let God have his way and do whatever, there we go, putting them back in the box. But God is not us. He's outside of us. He's outside of time. He's just God. He's amazing that way. So if we're looking to do and to achieve those greater things that we know that we can achieve, I heard you talking about Stephen Curry earlier. Yes, he's an amazing guy. And I was like, yeah, Tamika, hurry up, get in there. That's Golden State. That's our team out here. And so, yes, we love Stephen Curry. My kids will tell you about Stephen Curry. But you're absolutely right. It's just not him being a Christian. It's just not his gifts and talents. Guess what? It's a mindset. It's a belief in knowing that I can do this thing. And you've got to begin to declare that, look, my mind is saying, I know that I can do this. So I'm so excited about all that God is doing concerning Relentless Pursuit and all your ministry. God is doing some awesome things, and he wants to continue. He wants to continue in doing. He wants to finish what he has started, but it's our mindset. We have to allow God to allow these minds undergo a renewal. And that is my most, that's at the top of the list. Lord, continue to help me in my mindset. Continue to help me in my thoughts. When those thoughts that are trying to exalt themselves, and I know that it's not of God, I have to cast down those imaginations. The Bible's very specific. It lets us know that. You know, anything that's trying to bring itself against the knowledge of God, we have got to bring those thoughts down. So I am so elated. I'm excited. God has given me a spiritual renewal like never before, and I'm determined. I am determined to move forward and to continue to grow forward, because without growth, we cannot move forward. And so I thank you for this time. I appreciate, I love you ladies so much, and I thank God for the opportunity to be on this call, and that that is another one of my commitments. You know, God let me know that, look, you need to continue to do more. And so I'm excited about what he's doing with you all. Certainly it's awesome in his eyes and what he is doing through you both. God has seen it all, and you guys are getting ready to witness firsthand everything that you have laid out, put your hands to do. You're getting ready to see the hand of God move in a way. And I'm with you. I'm committed. I love you and look forward to what God is going to do for all of us in 2017. Truly, it's awesome.
Thank you.
Wow. That was necessary. That was definitely necessary, all of that. Yeah, it just sound like you sound like a fire starter over there. Like, I'm just listening to everything that you're saying, and I'm getting excited and hype over here. I mean, it's just, you know, it has been a tough season that we've exited coming out of 2016, but I wanted this new year to start off with some motivation, with some oomph, with some push, some fire, some passion. And this call, if it ain't working for nobody else, it's working for me. So get yours while you can get it. before we run low on time, though, I do want to thank Denise and Chandranette for sharing. That was definitely necessary. It was relevant. It was on time. So thank you guys for sharing. Before we run out of time, we already touched on the writing the vision and making it plain. And that scripture is Habakkuk. I never know how to pronounce that. I don't know if it's Habakkuk or Habakkuk. But Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, write the vision and make it plain. That's where that scripture is. So we've already touched on that, the importance of writing down what you want to see happen and coming up with a plan on how to get there. Tamika actually was working with me last year on vision board, writing down where I'm at now, where God wants me to be, where I want to be, and what steps is going to take to get there. So if you're into vision boards or you're architectural and you know how to do blueprints, whatever works, write it down, make it plain. But the last point that I wanted to touch on was the difference between creating better habits versus just fasting from bad habits. And what I mean by that is, like, for instance, this is not any shade being thrown. I'm not shooting no gunshots, none of that. But, like, the whole idea of Lent, giving up something for 40 days and then after that basically going back to it. I know that that's not the idea of it, but that's typically what happens, like giving up junk food or a certain type of food for 40 days and then after that you're free to do whatever you want. We don't want to fast from bad habits. We want to create better ones. And Ephesians 5 and 18 specifically, it's an example. I'm going to read it. I'm getting it up right now. But it's an example of how the Bible tells us not to do a certain thing and then tells us what we should do instead. Give me just a second. 5 and 18. I'm reading from the King James Version. An example is, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. I think in a different version it says, don't be drunk with wine, because that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you've ever had a situation or a time where, I'll just use my example. Me and Tamika, we've been to services at church before where the Holy Spirit and God's presence was so high and heavy that we actually experienced feeling drunk with the Holy Spirit, like feeling drunk. I don't know if anybody's ever been drunk before, but you'll know what it feels like when you feel it. So anyway, the Bible says not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They feel similar, but they're very different. Being filled with the Holy Spirit can give that feeling of feeling drunk. And essentially that's what people are looking for, to feel that high, that great feeling, that joyous feeling when they get drunk with wine. But the Bible is telling us to drop one bad habit and pick up a better one, a more edifying one. So don't drink wine and get drunk, but get drunk off the Holy Spirit, basically. So that's just a biblical example of what it means to not fast from a bad habit, but to create a better one. And also Philippians 4:8, it just tells us to think on things that are holy, that are pure, righteous, of good reputation. It's telling us what good habits to create. So another thing in this whole process of bringing your goals into manifestation is to identify what your bad habits are that are in opposition to the goal that you're trying to reach. If you want to lose weight, what are your eating habits like? What are your exercise habits like? What other health, practices do you have that are in opposition to that goal that you're trying to reach? For me, if I'm wanting to be consistent, I need to write out a schedule of the things that I want to consistently do. I personally want to get to a place where I'm back running or jogging on a regular basis and doing push-ups and sit-ups and working out. So I need to write that down, what my goal is, how much weight I want to lose, figure out what's reasonable, what's realistic for me to do every day for the month. We'll take it month by month if you want, for the month to get that done. So I've decided 10 push-ups a day for this first week of the month. Then the second week I'm going to up it to 20. Then the third week 30, and then the fourth week 40. So by the end of January I should be doing 40 push-ups. Praise God. So anyway, identify those bad habits and figure out what are the healthier habits that you need to replace them with to get to your goal. I just wanted to point that out, that last key point before we end, but is there anyone else on the call who wants to press 1 and share, ask questions, or Coach D or Tamika, did you have anything else to say before we run out of time here? Yes, no, maybe so.
No, I just, you know, one thing, just encouraging that, you know, the year has already started. It just started, but it's already started. And every year at the end of the year, we say, hey, this year went by so fast. And so I wouldn't expect anything differently this year. It's going to go by fast. And so diligently and intentionally take the time out this week to get a calendar, to get a journal, to get a planner, and write down your vision for the year and the plan before the year escapes you, before you wake up and be like, dang, this year went so fast, it went by so fast, it is already Christmas again. So,
right.
You know, and that happens every year. You hear everybody say it the same time. This year went by fast. Well, what year hasn't gone by fast? You know, you have 365 days out of the year. It can go by fast. But before it creeps up on you and it's already March, May, you know, April, May, June, the summertime, then Christmas time again, really take some time this week, this month, before January is out. We want to challenge you all to write that vision down for the year. Write your plans down for the year. Write your the things that is your goals down for the year and what it's going to take to get there and start implementing them, those things now. And preparing your mind. I've been preparing my mind since November for the discipline that it's going to take me to achieve the goals that I want to achieve this year. I wasn't necessarily doing everything, but I was preparing my mind. Like in January, I already know I'm going to have to be fasting and praying like I've never fasted and prayed in my life. I'm going to have to be disciplined, waking up at a specific time of the morning, 3 a.m., spending time with God in my prayer time and making sure that I'm focused. You know, not talking to certain things, not entertaining certain conversation, not watching certain movies. You know, I kind of binged over this Christmas break. Like, I know I'm not going to be able to do any of this stuff. I ate everything in sight. Every time I thought about it, ooh, it's available, let me go eat it. I relaxed. I slept as much as I could because I knew January hit, I got to be on my game. I got to be on my A game. And I knew that the amount of sacrifice it was going to take for me to accomplish everything that God has placed in my heart to accomplish, and I need to be focused. So I started preparing my mindset months before I, you know, am putting anything into action. So that's all I wanted to say. Don't let the year pass you by without planning. Don't let the year happen to you. You happen to the year. You make it happen in 2017. Don't let 2017 happen to you. A lot of the times we just let the day happen to us without planning our day and allowing ourselves to be in control of what happens in our day. So that's all.
So what's that saying, carpe diem, like seize the day, or whatever the word for year is in that language, we gonna carpe the year. And I do want to do something. I don't want this to just be one show topic to start off the year because it's cool. I do want to stay in touch with everybody to see how you're doing on reaching those goals. And if you mess up, it's cool. Just get up and try again. Because I can guarantee you that I'm going to fall short on my goals, but that's okay. The point is to keep at it and not give up on it completely because it's hard. So I'm going to be a little bit active on Facebook only for that reason. I am kind of going to be off of social media to kind of focus a little bit. But I do want to keep in touch with you guys to see what progress is taking place. I might make a video or something. I don't know. But just be on the lookout for that. And let's see. We are in January. So the next Monday is February the 6th. Yes. The first Monday of next month is February the 6th. So please join us again next month, February the 6th, the same time, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6:30 p.m. for, Pacific
the Golden
Standard
State
Time?
People.
Yeah, the Golden State folks, 6:30. Meet us again, February the 6th, Monday. We are excited. We're pumped. I'm going to be praying for y'all. I'm going to be in touch with y'all on Facebook and stuff. So we love you. We hope you have a good night. Thank you again. Lord, bless us with peace tonight. Give us rest and keep us consistent and strengthen our faith and our hope in you and in ourselves. And in Jesus' name, amen. Coach D, did you have any closing remarks?
Yes, I just want to thank your listening audience on tonight for listening in to Relentless Pursuit and supporting the MCD Network. We ask that you tune in to our weekly broadcast. We have Woman to Woman on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time. And also on Thursdays, we have Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D, at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, we thank you for tuning in. Make this a glorious new year, and we will see you February the 6th. Is it the 6th?
Yes.
February the 6th. Thank you, and have a great evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.